you would open your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, and we'll be reading verses 11 through 19. If you found your place in God's Word, you would stand and have the honor of the reading of God's holy Word. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I pray that you would strengthen my voice this morning. Father, I pray that you would convict us for our ingratitude. Father, as Gabe has already shared, Lord, we are an ungrateful people. Father, you have blessed us above all people. And Father, we are so quick to take the blessings and run with them as opposed to stop and say thanks. So, Father, I'd ask that you would help us to see all that you've done for us today. That your Holy Spirit would make us grateful, a grateful people. That we would be thankful not today, Father, not just Thursday, but every day in every moment of our lives for all of your good gifts. And, Father, for those that do not know you this morning, we would ask that they would, through faith, be cleansed from their sins even today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This past week, we were eating breakfast, and Karis asked me, do other nations celebrate Thanksgiving or just America? And I cut up a lot with my kids and tell them silly things and try to have a good time with them. And so I told Karis, "What's a joke?" But unfortunately, it's somewhat true. And I said, "No, Karis, the rest of the world is thankful all year long. We're only thankful once out of the year." Unfortunately, that is somewhat true. We pause what used to be one day. You know, the joke used to be that, you know, we were all thankful on Thursday, and then we kill each other over a new TV on Friday. But that was too long to be thankful. Now we kill each other over TV Thursday night, because it's a better deal than if you wait till Friday. And so it used to be we were thankful for one day, but now we're thankful for a half a day, and then we were thankful for one meal, but we aren't even thankful for the one meal anymore. We're thankful for about 2 minutes before the meal, and sometimes we're not even thankful then. We are a very ungrateful people that have been blessed immensely. And to me, it is a tragedy that we normally only remember how ungrateful we are once a year when Thanksgiving rolls around, as opposed to giving thanks the whole year round. As Gabe mentioned this morning, that was a tremendous point, that a mark of being filled with the Spirit is you're a grateful person. You're a thankful person. And I'm sure you've heard this passage of Scripture preached many times on Thanksgiving, giving thanks, but there's a lot here that I think we need to remind ourselves of concerning being grateful and being thankful for all that God has done. In this passage of Scripture, as Jesus goes by, there's 10 lepers. Now, we sometimes fail to understand what this means. Leprosy is all but gone in our country. There's a few rare cases every now and then. But the leprosy, even in our country, is a far different thing than the leprosy that was found here in Scripture. God, in his infinite wisdom, had created laws for his people to protect them against the spread of infectious diseases. You will find laws concerning human waste. You'll find laws concerning dead animals and dead people. and trying to protect the people from the spread of disease. Leprosy was a highly contagious disease at that point in time, very, very contagious. And so God had ordained that if you caught leprosy, you were to be removed from the camp, outside of the camp or outside the city, so that you would not have an epidemic or a plague go through the city. Now, this was originally in God's intent and design was for the good of his people, but it became that if you contacted leprosy, you were ostracized from society. You were looked down upon. You were just seen as an outcast of society. And so that which God had ordained for good, and that is to prevent the spread of disease, had then become where if you caught leprosy, it was basically a death sentence to your whole existence. You were then rejected by family, by friends, by everyone. You became lower than a beggar because no one would want to speak to you or talk to you. Part of the law of God is that if you had this infectious disease, you were supposed to stay away from people and say unclean, unclean. The same way if I had the flu, I would say don't come to my house. And I remember one time my family had some sickness and Johnny Chapman, he brought us dinner. And he came and he sat on the front porch. He waved at me through the window and left. Okay, that's why, because infectious diseases. Okay, now he wasn't ostracizing me, but this became where all of a sudden the person who cried unclean, it was not about the infectious disease anymore. It was they were an outcast from society and you ignored them, you abandoned them, you left them, you stayed away from them. And that's why we find that they are crying out from a long distance away. Because if they came any closer to regular people, people would turn and run from them. Because they saw this not as some disease that someone had caught. They saw this as someone having the curse of God upon them. And so they would reject them. So these 10 men have leprosy. Now we don't know from Scripture the ethnic makeup, but it would appear that only one was a Samaritan and the other 9 were Jews. Now in looking at that, you need to understand from what we've seen in John, especially John 4, where the Jews and the Samaritans wouldn't even speak to each other. Samaritans were hated by the Jews because they were half Gentile. And they were hated by the Romans because they were half Jew. They were despised and hated by everyone. The Jews would do no business with them. They would not speak to them. They would not even acknowledge their existence. But now that the Jews are now outcast from society as lepers, They choose to associate with the Samaritan, and so the Samaritan finally has some friends, and those are the other lepers. And so they hear of this man named Jesus, who is able to heal. They perhaps have heard of the time that he actually touched a leper and healed him. Maybe they've heard of how he healed the lame man, how he healed the blind man, how he raised someone from the dead. They've heard of his power to cast out demons, his power to heal, and they see him passing by their little village, and so they begin to cry out from a long distance away, Lord, Master, have mercy on us. And the word there is to have compassion. You know, you actually care for us. Have compassion on us. And why would they cry this out for Jesus? Because no one had compassion on them. They were despised and rejected even by their own family. They were rejected by everyone. And so they wanted Jesus to have just a small amount of compassion and mercy towards them. And Jesus responds and tells them, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, we read this and it doesn't make the same meaning to us as it does to them because we are not well versed in that culture and that law. In that culture and in God's law, if someone had leprosy, he was to be outside of the camp until the priest declared him clean. And so he was not even allowed to go back to his family. He was not allowed to go back to his work. He was not allowed back into society until the priest looked at him, examined him, and declared him to be cleansed from the highly contagious, highly infectious disease of leprosy. So when Jesus tells these 10 men, go show yourself to the priest, this is in effect what they heard. I not only had mercy and compassion on you, I've already made you clean from your leprosy. Go show the priest and you will be accepted back into society. Again, this was more than just saying, come here and I'll heal you. He was saying, I've already done it. And so what happens? As soon as they believe that he has already healed them, already cleansed them, and turned to go, guess what happens? Their leprosy is gone. Now, We find that only one of them stops dead in his tracks and comes back to Jesus. And the scripture makes it very, very plain that he was a Samaritan. And Jesus speaks about how the only one that comes back is a stranger. Someone who was not part of and integrated with Jewish society. A Samaritan would have been considered a foreigner. Someone who would be an outcast. Someone who would be considered by the Jews as a half-breed. And the question comes to me, why is it the Samaritan is the only one that's grateful? Why did the other Jews show zero gratitude? They didn't even send Jesus a thank you note 2 years later. There was not even something shouted over their shoulder, thanks a lot, I really appreciate it. Zero gratitude. I think the answer lies in the fact that the man was a Samaritan and the others were Jews. And I think it's something that you and I need to really take into account. Because one of the reasons we are ungrateful is because we do not remember what it's like to be the bottom rung, to be the outcast, to be the despised, to be in poverty. One of the reasons we are so ungrateful is we do not know what it is like to go without. We don't know what it's like to be looked down upon, to be disenfranchised, to be a minority. You see, in our society, we are much like the Jews were. These were men who had it all. These were men who had the wealth, had the position, had the esteem. These were the men who looked down on the lepers, looked down on the Samaritans, looked down on all the other horribly wicked people. And then, through leprosy, they lost all of that. The Samaritan never had it. He never had the esteem of men. He never was popular. All he ever had been his whole life was hated and despised by Jews. In fact, if anything, the leprosy gave him friends. We don't think of it that way. And so for the Jew, the leprosy had taken away everything that was rightfully his. For the Samaritan, he had nothing to lose to begin with. You know, we talk about people being entitled, and we use it as a very derogatory term for people in our culture who are on the government roles, you know, receiving food stamps. We talk about they're entitled. We are all entitled. We think we deserve the wealth and the prosperity that we have. I encourage you to write down and go look up a website when you get home. It's called globalrichlist.com. You go in and you type in your income and they will tell you what number you are as wealthiest people in the world. If you make more than $32,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the world for wealth. You are the 1%. The people who rail against the 1% are the 1%. Again, if you make $32,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of wealth in the entire world. Think about that for a minute. And then think of this. The things you grumble and complain about, the things that you get upset about, just show how privileged and blessed you really are. You get a flat tire on your $20,000 vehicle and you get upset. The rest of the world walks. The light turns red and you have to sit there and listen to the radio and air conditioning and you're upset. Okay. You go to wash your hands. And you know, this morning it was cold, and many of y'all have wells, and so your water was like mine. It takes about 5 seconds for it to get warm. And you complain. The toilet seat was cold. Oh no, you have indoor plumbing. You actually have hot water. You can actually drink the water without getting sick. You didn't have to carry the water on your head for 2 miles. See, the things that we get upset about, other people would dance in the streets for. The food that you're going to throw away today off the edge of your plate at lunch, there is a kid in India that would dance for a week for. Why are we so ungrateful? Because we don't know what it's like to be the Samaritan. We don't. The people in our society complain and riot about the dumbest things. Listen, it is amazing what we complain about. We complain about our government. Move to Saudi Arabia. You know what? You'll start praising God for our government. We complain about the rising cost of health care. Have you ever thought of that? The rising cost of health care. And we're complaining that you actually have a hospital you can go to? Many places in the world don't. The medicine you have that keeps you alive is so expensive. The rest of the world's already dead by your age. We complain because we have aches and pains. The life expectancy in some countries is 45. Be glad you're alive to have the aches and pains. We complain. I complain because I spooked a deer. And I went back and sat in the heat and ate a wonderful meal. Somebody else spooks a deer and they starve and their family starves. We don't think that way. We are so ungrateful because we do not know what it's like to be the Samaritan. We see everything as an inconvenience to what we are really entitled to. We don't have time to be sick because we have money to make and things to do. And so when we get sick, it's just, I can't believe God would do this to me. I was talking with a man in our church who's since gone on to be with the Lord. We were just talking about just random things, and he was talking about the rise of cancer. And he said the reason he believed there was so much cancer is because people were actually living long enough to actually get cancer. Used to, they were dead by 40. And so now they're actually 70, 80 years old. They actually live long enough to contract the disease. We don't think that way. You know, I was reading to my children the biography of Susanna Wesley. She buried 12 children. Had one, maybe two homes burned down. We don't think of that. We don't think of what it's like. We don't know what it's like to go without. We complain because the food doesn't match our diet. Have you ever thought how privileged you are to actually have to worry about dieting? The rest of the world would love to be overweight, because that means they actually have enough food to eat. If you remember several years ago, we had a lady come and she was talking about delivering shoeboxes, and I think it was Nigeria. And one of the children said, today's not my day to eat, it's my sister's day. I get to eat tomorrow. And we're going to complain because we're going to overeat on Thursday, and we're going to complain about indigestion. The reason the Samaritan's grateful is because he realizes what he is. You and I don't anymore. We don't realize what we are apart from Christ. We have forgotten. It is so amazing to me that someone in our society who's a drunk, after 2 days of sobriety, feels that they can make fun of all the drunks. Did you forget what you were last week? Yet we do the same thing. These men who were there with the Samaritan having leprosy with him, I guarantee you, now that they were all healed, if he would see them on the streets, would act like they didn't know him because he was a Samaritan. We have forgotten the road that we were on when Jesus saved us. We have forgotten what we were apart from his grace. We have forgotten all the things that we used to be, all the pride, the jerk that we were, the drunkenness, the drug abuse. We have forgotten the selfishness. How sorry we were as a husband. How horrible we were as a dad. How ungrateful we were as a spouse. We have forgotten all of that. And now we complain constantly over an election? We complain because it's cold? Because we don't have heated seats because we live in Florida? Have we forgotten what it's like? Have we forgotten the reason Thanksgiving was instituted? Because they buried, how many people did they bury that first winter? I mean, if you remember the first Thanksgiving, they put 3 kernels of corn on their plate to remind them that's all they had to eat that time last year. 3 kernels of corn a day. That's our ancestors. And we complain because the steak that we're eating was cooked medium well as opposed to medium. Have you forgotten? One of the reasons we are so ungrateful is because we believe we are entitled to something better. The Jews, leprosy was an inconvenience now they could go back to their lifestyle. The Samaritan got to go back to his lifestyle, which was despised and rejected. Christianity, by the way, has always flourished as a persecuted minority, has always died when it becomes a wealthy majority. Study the history of Christianity. Whenever Christianity becomes a wealthy majority, it dies. Why? Because we forgot that our Lord and Savior walked this earth in poverty without even so much as a pillow, without a dime to his name, suffered and died at 33 years old. And somehow we think we are entitled to live a better life than he did. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That wasn't talking about winning the Super Bowl. It was talking about being content with food and clothing. We're not content with that anymore. I have nothing to wear. There are people who would rejoice to have every piece of clothing in your closet that you looked over this morning. And we are not even grateful. Keep reading. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Notice Jesus is absolutely amazed. A full 90% of the people were ungrateful that Jesus healed that day. 90%. Now before you're amazed, you should remember that you know your own heart best. And the truth be told, we probably are thankful for far less than 10% of the things we have been given. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think I would be happy if I was grateful 10% of the time. The truth be told, we are probably more ungrateful than those men were. God has given us so much. He has given us so much. You know, we complain because all the toys on the floor. Some people don't have toys. Complain because all the food on the floor from the kids. Some people don't have kids. We complain. The music's not the music that I like in church. There are some Christians that aren't singing songs this morning because then they will be overheard by the government and imprisoned. We don't think that way. Notice this too. The man, the moment he sees that he's cleansed, verse 15, he turns around immediately. One of the reasons we are so ungrateful is because we don't immediately give thanks for what God has done. Most of us cannot remember what we had for dinner last night. Yet you're going to remember on Thursday everything God did for you last year? I mean, you can't even remember what you had for breakfast this morning. And you're going to remember on Thursday everything God did for you this year? Listen, this man immediately gives thanks. I remember hearing, I was reading by Spurgeon, he's talking about his prayer life. And he said a statement that threw me at first, and then when you read the whole thing, it made sense. He said, I seldom pray more than 15 minutes. And my first thought was, wow, I guess I'm in good company. My second thought was, how on earth did God use a man that couldn't pray for more than 15 minutes straight? Then I read the rest of the quote. He said, I seldom pray for more than 15 minutes, and I seldom go more than 15 minutes without praying. He walked with God. He was constantly talking to the Lord. One of the reasons we are so ungrateful is because we don't talk to God till the end of the day, if we're lucky. Listen, there is so much to be thankful for if you would just walk with the Lord and give Him thanks. Thank you, Lord, that the light turned green. Thank you, Lord, that I found a good parking space. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather. Thank you, Lord, for the clothes that you gave me this morning. Thank you, Lord, for running water. Thank you. If we would be more immediate, we'd have so much more to give thanks for. But the truth be told, we can't even remember what took place yesterday. And if you put off till tomorrow to give thanks, you'll have nothing to be thankful for. If tonight's the only time you're going to stand and give thanks to the Lord for what He's done, you're going to be neglecting 99% of what He's done. We need to learn to be more grateful in the moment. To say thank you. The same way we taught our children. You know, what do we teach our children? To say please, and then as soon as they get it, they say thank you. And what do we do as adults? Please, Lord, please, 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 please. We get it and we run with it, and then we try to remember a couple months later to say thanks. We need to be much more thankful in the moment to give immediate thanks. One of the things he says in verse 18 is they're not found that return to give glory to God. One of the things that I really want us to see in this is that the Samaritan is the one who glorifies God for what he's done. In this passage of Scripture, it harkens back to something in the Old Testament about leprosy. And that is leprosy was something that was a picture. And it was not this in the Old Testament. It was a picture of sin, though. Something that will affect you and consume you. If you fall into sin, it will affect you, it will consume you, and it will destroy you and cut you off from God. And so in this passage of Scripture where it speaks of 10 being cleansed, it's much more than a healing that's being talked of. It's speaking of the idea of forgiveness of sins. And that's what verse 19, Jesus hearkens to that when he talks about your faith has made you whole. This healing of their leprosy was to be a picture of how Jesus Christ heals people from their sins. And one of the things that we must give God the glory for is our salvation. The forgiveness of sins, the transformation, the change that He has brought in our life. We are so forgetful of what we used to be. Of how far God has brought us. What He has forgiven. And you know, the man, in verse 15, he gives God glory with a loud voice. And so the question comes to me, will you give God glory? Will you publicly proclaim what God has done? This is one of the things that people are supposed to do when they are born again, when they're saved, and that is to profess Christ openly. Why would you not give thanks? And if you're truly born again, why would you ever stop giving thanks? You know, God could have left you. God could have passed you over. God could have walked past you. God could have left you in your sin. Yet He had compassion on you. He was merciful to you. He was gracious to you. He forgave you. He cleansed you. And that cost Him His own life. This is why, you know, this morning we're going to remember Jesus. If God has saved you, why would you stay quiet? Why would you be quiet? Why would you not stop and give God the glory? Lastly, before we look at application, Jesus tells the man that his faith has made him whole, and this is a picture of salvation. You may be here this morning and not know the forgiveness of sins that's found in Christ. You may not know that you are saved. You may have questions concerning your salvation. What is it that Jesus tells them? He says, go show yourself to the priest. As we looked previously, what does He mean by that? I have already healed you. I've already done it. What was required of them? They just had to believe him. How was that man cleansed? Because he went through a whole bunch of prayers, told God he was so sorry, asked forgiveness for a million things, gave a lot of money in the offering plate, did all kinds of good deeds. No, he just believed. He believed. Now his belief caused him to give glory to God. His belief caused him to go show himself to the priest. His belief caused many things. But he just simply believed what Jesus had said. Forgiveness of sins and salvation is found not in anything that you do, but is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he has said with his dying breath, it is finished. And the question is simple. Do you believe that? Did Christ die on the cross for your sins? Yes or no? Was he buried? Did he rise again from the dead the third day? Is he seated at God's right hand? Yes or no? You see, Jesus is still willing and still has compassion and mercy on those who need to be forgiven from their sins. And the answer here is your faith has made you whole. Do you believe or do you not? That is the question. So in applications, very short questions. What do you have to be thankful for? What do you have to be thankful for? Will you, with a loud voice, give thanks to the Lord for it? I encourage you to come back tonight when we have our Thanksgiving dinner and come prepared to give thanks. Yeah, there'll be good food, but we're not here to eat. We're here to give glory to God. And each person that desires to do so will be given an opportunity to stand and give thanks. If you're not able to make it tonight, do it in your own home. Get your children together. Say, we're going to give God thanks for what he's done. If God has saved you from your sins, then stand up and tell the world. Give God glory for forgiving you, for saving you, for changing you. Profess him openly. What do you have to be thankful for? And will you be thankful not just today, but will you begin to walk with the Lord and give thanks every moment of every day for everything, including the bad things, as Gabe shared this morning, including the difficult things, including the adversity? Will you give thanks in all things? Because God has been good to us. And lastly, if you do not know the Lord, will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Amen.